This is David Getoff. I apologize for my cat in the background. She's demanding attention, and they do that. This recording on wheat, gluten, and gliadin is being made to try and unscramble, clarify, and get rid of a whole bunch of misrepresentations, misinterpretations, tremendous amount of ignorance. Remember, ignorance doesn't mean anybody is stupid. Ignorance just means you don't know something that you don't know. So we're all ignorant in many areas, which is currently being perpetrated both on the medical profession and on the public. And so the end result is that what the public is being told through their physician, through their dietitian, through the media, such as radio, TV, through books, is, in the case of wheat, gluten, and gliadin, extremely incorrect and misleading very, very often. First of all, let me make a very, very important comment. Gluten, gliadin, and wheat are different substances. Wheat is a grain, of which there are many grains that contain gluten and gliadin. And in actuality, the most accurate way to explain the sensitivities that many people have, some people call them allergies, sensitivities, reactivities. I'm going to use those words interchangeably here, even though I understand that medically speaking, an allergy is a very specific immunoglobulin E reaction. And if you don't know what I mean, don't worry about that. But I'm going to use all three of those, sensitivities, reactivities, and allergies, synonymously in this recording, because somebody is reacting, and therefore, as far as I'm concerned, regardless of the medical profession's description of the word allergy, as far as I'm concerned, they are having a reaction, therefore an allergy to wheat. Some of the background information that I need you all to understand is that if you react to wheat, it is actually wheat you are reacting to, but there are many different parts of the wheat kernel that this reactivity may be occurring from. So it's not the entire kernel of wheat. In other words, we could pull different parts of the wheat kernel off and separate them, such as into gliadin, gliomorphin, gluten, and different parts of gluten, etc., etc., etc. And you might not react to any except one or two or three. There have been 24 identified different parts of the wheat kernel you could react to. And those are all in wheat when we eat something that's made out of wheat, if it's whole wheat. If it's not whole wheat, although it will have a lot less nutrition in it, there might be less of the reactive portions in it because, of course, some of them might have been eliminated as the wheat was processed. But very important that you understand that for the most part, there are a couple of exceptions. I haven't seen one yet in my patient population. But for the most part, it is our hybridized, massively hybridized, genetically modified wheat to which you are having your reactivity. So if somebody says you're reacting to gluten or you're reacting to gliadin, for the most part, that's not really true. You are reacting to what I refer to as our garbage wheat, which does not in any way resemble the much healthier wheat of our ancestors. Wheat has been hybridized tremendously. It has been genetically modified. It has been altered so that it will produce more bushels per acre, so that it will be more resistant to different types of diseases, so that certain insects that otherwise would have wanted to eat it because it was a healthy food no longer want it anymore. The industry loves that because it gets less attacked by insects. Humans, if they knew enough, would say, wait a minute, if the insects that would no longer consider it, that would have considered it as their food, and if certain different animals and rodents that would have considered it as their food now don't want it as much and would prefer something else, what have we done to the food? Because they still work on instinct, and if they don't want it, we probably shouldn't eat it either. But that's a separate issue that would take a long time to go into. So, if we're talking about wheat, then we might not be talking about all grains. So let's begin with the standard acceptable test or accepted test by what is usually referred to as modern medicine, or traditionally the proper word would be allopathic medicine. You may know, if you know me, that I do not consider our modern form of medicine to be traditional medicine. If you look in the dictionary, the word traditional is something that's been done for hundreds or thousands of years as a tradition. and something that is different than what's been done for thousands of years is considered to be alternative. Therefore, since our modern form of medicine, which involves pharmaceutical drugs and surgery, is barely 200 years old, and the use of diet changes and herbs in various different populations in traditional tribes around the world, in Chinese medicine, in Ayurvedic medicine, is many, many thousands of years old. The correct usage of those terms would be that herbal, naturopathic, nutritional medicine, etc., would be called traditional medicine, and drug-based medicine would be called alternative medicine. But oftentimes the people in power will change the wording used to describe what they do so as to make their stuff seem more correct. And that is what medicine has done. That is why they call drug-based medicine traditional medicine and herbal and nutrient-based medicine alternative medicine, when in fact the proper usage of those two words would switch them back the other way. So in allopathic, which is drug-based medicine, there are specific tests. There's a blood test. There's a snip from the intestine, the biopsy, which are used to diagnose a condition which they have labeled as a disease. Not sure if I like the term disease. We'll call it condition. And that is celiac. Celiac is labeled by medicine as a reactivity. They probably don't use the word allergy because it's not immunoglobulin type E, but a reactivity to gluten. And that if you react to gluten, they believe, because they were taught this in medical school, even though it is incorrect, they believe that if you test positive on any of the celiac tests, that you therefore need to avoid gluten because you react to gluten. This is, you know, I try not to use the word lie when it's incorrect. Those who know me realize I'm very good about words. Lying is when you say something that you know is not true and you're saying it anyway. If a doctor tells you something which is completely false, but they believe it, then let's be fair, they're not lying, they're simply ignorant of the facts, and that is often true in many occupations, and medicine is only one of them. So the supposed fact, which in fact is not a fact, that if you test positive on a celiac test, that you are reactive to gluten is not correct. You are actually reactive just to the particular portions of the gluten and the types of gluten that are being used in the celiac test, and that is our garbage, hybridized, mostly genetically modified wheat and the gluten that is in it. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is that those people that have gotten the diagnosis of celiac disease are often not reacting to many different types of gluten on the market in many different types of grains, and they think they are because they were told by the doctor, you have to avoid all gluten because you are testing positive for this celiac test. And they don't understand that they were not being tested for all glutens. They're only being tested for very specific hybridized, genetically modified gluten from our wheat. And there might be many other grains, and I'm not promoting the use of these grains. I'm simply saying there might be many other grains which they do not react to. And they think they do because the doctor said you must avoid all gluten. Number two, the number of people who do react to our hybridized wheat, who are being inflamed by it, who are having neurological reactions, who are having gastrointestinal reactions, and I might add here that in the last 10 years, it has been shown very clearly that the majority of people who react to our hybridized wheat are not having reactions that are strictly gastrointestinal, such as GI problems, such as constipation, such as diarrhea, such as combination of the two, such as bloating. Many, many people, as a matter of fact, some of the current research says over 50% and as high as 70% of the people who react to wheat are actually having neurological reactions and not gastrointestinal reactions. So if you are reacting every time you eat something that's got wheat in it, you're having a cookie, a cake, you're having a piece of bread, you're having some pasta, you're having croutons on a salad, you're having some sauces that were thickened with a little bit of flour to make them thicker, all the various places that wheat can be hiding, you're having some soy sauce in which almost all of our traditional soy sauce has wheat in it, and you have some kind of reaction, whatever it might be. There are numerous different ones. I'm not going to go over all of them here. But it's not a gastrointestinal reaction. Your doctor will say, well, then you're not really reacting to the gluten. It's not possible. And that is ignorance. That is simply not true. you could very easily be reacting to it. And a matter of fact, some people's multiple sclerosis, some people's ALS, and a whole bunch of other neurological reactions get much worse when the body consumes wheat, because very often it is an inflammation or reactivity that is neurological. So the next point is that a very large proportion of the people that do react to wheat will show up negative or will test negative on all of the standard medical celiac tests. And yes, you did hear that right. The majority of people who react to wheat will test negative on medical celiac tests. So if you think you're reacting to wheat and you go in the doctor's office and you say, you know, I think wheat causes me a problem. And the doctor says, well, I doubt it because not very many people react to wheat, which of course is not true. Many people do. But we can go ahead and run a celiac test on you, and we can find out for you to let you know. And they run one of a couple of traditional types of medical celiac tests. And you come up negative, and the doctor says, nope, just like I thought, you were wrong. You're not reacting to wheat. You're not gluten sensitive. And you know you are. You're right. The doctor's wrong. Their test is invalid for most people because it is only testing about 3 of the different parts of the wheat kernel that you can react to. Luckily, we have a phenomenal scientist, PhD, researcher, immunologist, who's been publishing studies and doing research for many decades. And he's highly, highly respected as an allergy immunology teacher and researcher. His name is Aristo Vajdani. And he found that there are 24 different parts of the wheat kernel people can react to. And he developed a test not too many years ago, fairly recently, that can test all of those 24. So if you really do think you react to wheat, and you haven't stopped eating it yet, so the reactivity is still going on in your body, and you'd like to find out, is this your imagination, or are you really reacting to wheat? You need to find a doctor or other health practitioner who is licensed to order you the test, which is called ARRAY, A-R-R-A-Y, number 3, from Cyrex, C-Y-R-E-X Laboratories. That is the only way to find out whether or not you react to wheat. They test all 24 different reactivities, and if you react to any one of the 24, then you are being inflamed and reacted to by wheat, and you should be avoiding wheat. If I want to stress things a little bit more forcefully, like the plague, you should be avoiding it, because it is greatly increasing your risks of getting, if you don't already have, and hopefully you do not, diabetes, various forms of cancers, all the neurological diseases, ALS, MS, etc., etc., possibly Alzheimer's. We don't know about that one because that one's mostly caused by poisons. But, of course, anything that is inflammatory would increase your risks of these and many other different conditions. So you really should avoid it, and then you need to learn how to avoid it. You might want to click on the link that I'm going to be putting up next to this recording for a list of places that contain wheat, places that might contain wheat, so you'll have some idea of how much you have to avoid this in order to really stay away from it. But that's the only accurate test. Cyrex Laboratories, ARRAY number 3. They also have a number of other tests that are also accurate in their own areas, such as ARRAY number 4, which takes a look at cross-reactivity. So maybe while you're reacting to wheat because it inflames you so much, you're also reacting to potatoes, coffee, chocolate, a bunch of other different things. And those are tested on ARRAY number 4, which would be worthwhile if number 3 comes up positive. Because if you are already sensitive, then you can become reactive to other things. In other words, if you scratch your arm up really badly in an accident, while it's healing, it is still inflamed, and if somebody rubs your arm gently with a feather, it's going to hurt. Now, that's not because a feather should be able to hurt your arm. That's because your arm is now so sensitive from being reacted to and from being scraped up from the accident that now even a feather will hurt it. Same thing goes on with wheat. Wheat causes such a strong reactivity in the different cells which it is inflaming that you might then become sensitive to foods that aren't really your sensitivities, but they are currently because of the wheat in your body, which, by the way, takes 6 weeks to clear. So if you eat a little bit of wheat every 3 weeks by accident because there was a little bit of wheat thickening a sauce or a stew, or you ate in an Asian restaurant and it had soy sauce in it, which had wheat in it, or maybe some crumbs from a piece of crouton got on your salad after you picked them all off and there were some left, you're still reacting. You have to be totally wheat-free for approximately 6 weeks before the reactivity goes away. So if while you're reacting, you also consume any of these other foods that you're reactive to, it perpetuates the reactivity and the body cannot heal. And therefore, having Ari number 4 done, and I have nothing to do with these laboratories. I mean, I happen to know Dr. Vajdani, but I don't make any money on this. I'm simply telling you the test that works. So if you get number 4 done and 4 or 5 or 6 of those foods come up as reactive also, then you would need to eliminate them as well. Usually, totally for about 4 to 6 months is what they have found. And then the healing takes place and you can retest the number 4 array to see, are you really reactive to all those things that you came up reactive to? Or now that you've healed, those are fine. There's only 1 or 2 or maybe none left. And of course, the wheat, which you should avoid most likely for the rest of your life. This brings us into the difference between different types of protein. Now, remember, gluten is a protein. So we could call gluten the protein in vegetable matter, although it's not vegetable matter, it's in grains. So it is the incomplete proteins that are in grains. And actually, that protein in grains, such as in wheat, can be separated out. I did this many, many years ago before I realized how toxic this stuff was and that people should be avoiding it. It can be separated out and it becomes its own food. There is a food in the vegetarian community and the macrobiotic community called seitan, S-E-I-T-A-N. Not Satan, the devil, seitan. Seitan is pure gluten. That's all it is, pure gluten. So anytime you would go, if you're trying to avoid gluten, to any Asian restaurant, and on their menu, they have, for example, for vegetarians, they have mock chicken, mock duck, mock scallops. Some people think those are soy, that they're tofu. They are not. The mock animals, the mock duck, the mock chicken, is seitan. And that's pure 100% gluten. So if you're avoiding gluten for its hazards to your body, you sure as heck need to avoid seitan. Now that I've mentioned that seitan in the course of wheat, or gluten in general, is the incomplete protein, because only animal proteins are complete, is the incomplete protein in grains, let me tell you something that the doctor doesn't know, doesn't understand, although if you explain this to them, they might. You know, doctors are very intelligent people. They just don't know what they don't know, just like we don't know what we don't know. If somebody were to tell you that you're allergic to beef, let's say every time you eat beef, you get bloated, or every time you eat beef, you know, your asthma gets worse. And the doctor would say, well, in that case, probably you're reacting to it. You shouldn't eat it. Of course, they might run a poor test, such as an allergy test, which is an IgE test, and that might not be the way your body's reacting. You might be reacting to an IgG or some other one, and the one they test is not the way your body's reacting, and then they go, oh, nope, you're wrong. That's because they were trained that that's the main reactivity, and anything else is bogus, which is not true. But other than that, which is another whole discussion, if you know that every time you eat beef, you have a reaction to it, you can't digest it as well, you get bloated, you get gas, maybe your arthritis gets worse, whatever it might be, maybe you get headaches, any kind of reactivity. So you have allocated, you have understood, you realize that you react to beef. But you don't react to chicken. And maybe you don't react to lamb and you don't react to eggs. And of course, somebody else might react to eggs, but they might not react to the other 3 or 4. So nobody in their right mind that's thinking, if you said you react to beef, would say, oh, you have an animal protein allergy. You need to avoid animal proteins. So if you react to beef, you need to stop eating fish and eggs and beef and lamb and chicken and turkey and duck. And of course, I could go on. That would be a really ignorant, maybe even bordering on stupid statement, because those are completely different proteins. The protein in beef is completely different than the protein in eggs, which is different from the protein in fish. I don't mean that all of its ingredients are different. those of you who understand a little bit of nutritional biochemistry know that all proteins are made up of amino acids, and therefore all of those have various amounts of different amino acids, but they're very different. You all know that you can be allergic or reactive to meat and not reactive to any of the others if you specify the meat. In other words, you're not really reactive to meat, you're reactive to beef, or you're reactive to turkey. Because we can't just say you're reactive to animal protein. They're all different. Well, the same is true for gluten. People are not realizing that. Gluten is a protein that comes from grains. And just like you can be reactive to the protein in beef, but not in eggs and fish and dairy and a bunch of others, you can be reactive to the protein, gluten, that comes from our hybridized wheat, but not from the protein that comes from barley or spelt or kamut or rye. Are you? We don't know. The test is testing your reactivity to wheat. And so a lot of people are avoiding all forms of gluten because they were told that they react to them, but they were told that by an ignorant person, the physician, who was told that in his training or her training, and so they believe it, but they are incorrect. So just as you do not react to meats, you react to specific ones. You do not react to the vegetable protein, gluten. You react to the specific ones. And for those of you who are listening to this, who go, oh, no, I'm celiac, I avoid all gluten, I understand. You are diagnosed as celiac, and you are avoiding all gluten. If you would like to determine whether what I'm saying about you're really reactive to only specific glutens, and whether or not what I'm saying is correct for you, because I can't tell you if it's correct for you. I don't know you. We are all very different. I would suggest that you go to some place that has really good quality, heirloom quality, unhybridized barley. I'm sure there are many such places around. The one that comes to mind, because I simply happen to know the organization, is called Gold Mine Natural Foods. They are in San Diego County. They're up in the area of Poway. But you can find them online, Goldmine Natural Foods, and order one of their two or three types of heirloom quality barley. And go ahead and cook some up and try it. And see if you have your gluten reaction that you've already always had every time you accidentally have some wheat. Chances are, from what I've seen in many, many, many patients, you will not have any reactivity at all. It'll be hard to believe, so now you can have some more tomorrow. It'll still be hard to believe, so you can have it 2 or 3 days in a row to make sure. And then you'll realize, wow, this is interesting. I learned something new. What David Getoff said on his audio recording is correct. Just like people are not allergic to animal protein, they're allergic to specific ones, like beef or lamb or fish or eggs, people are not allergic to grain protein. They're allergic to specific ones, such as the one coming from our hybridized wheat, and you might not be allergic to the same, because it's not the same, vegetable protein coming from a different grain, such as heirloom barley. So if you're celiac or you know you react to wheat, and you'd like to see whether you really do react to all glutens, which most likely you do not, the easiest way to determine that would be to get some heirloom quality organic barley and see whether that causes you a reaction. Barley is the healthiest, as far as I am concerned, of all of the grains. The reason I consider it in my own lectures to be the healthiest is because it is the only one that converts into sugar very, very slowly. It's got a glycemic index of between 25 and 33, depending on the chart, and that brings it down to a very slow converter. And one of the big problems with grains is they convert rapidly into sugar, and so eating a grain is like eating a delayed-action candy bar. But with barley, that's not true. So if you're not reactive to barley and you like to have a grain added to some of your meals, that would be the one to add. Now you can find out whether or not you do or don't react to it. There actually are some other grains that are in the healthier category, such as black and red quinoa, brown teff, because they have more proteins in them. But barley is the slowest converter. That's the reason I like it. Yes, it has gluten in it, but it has barley gluten. Just like you're reactive to beef, but turkey has a completely different set of turkey amino acids. Even though the amino acids are classed the same, it's coming from a different food. Recently, a number of months ago, one of my patients called me up and said, David, I'm sure you can answer this question, but I can't, and I would like to have your input. She said, you know, I'm a celiac patient, and I've been avoiding wheat for many years because every time a small amount accidentally gets into something I'm eating at some restaurant where they said, no, this is gluten-free, and they goofed, and there were some in there, I end up having a massive reaction. And different people, as I have told you on this recording, have different reactions. You know, some people have horrible GI problems. They get horrible diarrhea for a week or 2 or 3 days. Some people get constipated. Some people get bloated. Some people get their neurological condition. Their arthritis gets much worse. Their MS gets much worse. There's all sorts of possibilities. But she called me up. She said, you know, I'm celiac, and you know I have massive problems if wheat gets into something, and so I've been avoiding it for years. She said, I just got back from a 2-week vacation in Europe. I believe she said that they were in France, but I'm not sure. And she said, right down the block from me, there was a bakery, and I was just smelling the baked goods in the morning. And for most people, unless they're phenomenally reactive, the smell is not an issue. So she wasn't reacting to the smell. She was just smelling it and going, oh, I miss bread so much. It would be so much fun. And they had just gotten there. She said, you know, to heck with it. We're going to be here for 2 weeks. I will end up having 3 days worth of grief, and we're on vacation. I'm going to have a piece of their homemade bread. So they went down to the bakery, and she said, could I buy one piece of bread? And I think she said, they said, no, we only sell it by the loaf, but we'll give you a piece as a sample. And they gave her a piece of bread. And she took it home, and she toasted it, and she put some butter on it, and she ate it, knowing that she was going to regret it, but that it would make her feel good. She hadn't had any bread in years. And she had no reaction whatsoever. And she said, this doesn't make any sense. I always have a reaction if a small amount gets in. I just had an entire piece of bread. She said, that's almost like maybe my celiac is healed, which I was told was impossible. So she went back the next day and bought a loaf of that bread. And she had a piece of bread every day for the rest of the 2 weeks she was there, enjoyed it immensely, never had any reactions, came back to San Diego and said, well, I guess the doctor was wrong. I guess I could possibly heal from my celiac disease. And so she went into one of the health food stores in San Diego. She bought a loaf of the highest quality organic sprouted multigrain bread that she could get. And she had a piece of that with dinner. And for the next 3 days, she felt like absolute crap. And she called me up and she explained all of this to me. And she said, will you please tell me what happened? And I said, certainly, I'll be happy to tell you what happened. You are not allergic or reactive to wheat. You are reactive to our garbage hybridized wheat here. When the doctor told you to stay away from all gluten, he was simply misinformed. And ignorance, you know, causes us a lot of problems. And so you've been avoiding all forms of gluten for years, and that has helped you immensely. But you didn't really have to. You just didn't know it. And when you were over there, apparently they were using some of their traditional grains instead of our garbage hybridized grains. She said, yes, but it was wheat. I said, I understand, but it was an ancient form of wheat. It was probably emmer, sometimes called farro. And emmer is an ancient hybridized form of wheat that a lot of people don't have reactivity to, even though they are celiac. And she said, oh. And so since then, she's done some experiments with emmer and spelt and kamut and barley, and she's found that she does not react to barley, she does not react to emmer. Spelt and kamut, I think one of them she had a little bit of reactivity to, it might have been spelt. And so now she will occasionally have a piece of bread, maybe once a week, from one of the grains that is not an issue for her. I still tell people to avoid bread because it's pure starch, it turns into sugar, it reduces our immune system function, and it isn't really good for us, but if you're going to have it, at least have the one that you don't react to, and that the only issue is the starch content. So these are things that people need to understand, and they otherwise don't know. And this is the misleading nature of our modern form of medicine, where the doctor believes what they're taught in medical school, and I can understand that if you spend, you know, whatever it costs, $100,000 for your education, most people will believe what they're told, even though a great deal of it is wrong, such as that nutrients can't be helpful, such as food doesn't affect, you know, your health in any way and couldn't possibly reverse a cancer. All of those things are not true. Food is very strong. Nutrients are very strong. But it's not taught to the doctors, so they don't know any better. And instead of being open-minded and investigating, they simply continue to hold the line of what they were taught. So to recap on this gluten, gliadin, wheat
discussion I'm having. It's not really a discussion because you're not talking back to me. I guess we could just call it a recording or a lecture. Number one, the celiac test is extremely inaccurate as far as its ability to let everybody know whether they react to wheat. Because somewhere around 50 to 70% of the people who react to wheat do not react to the three portions of wheat that are being tested in the celiac test. They react to one of the other 21 portions or 21 parts. And therefore, if somebody tests negative on a celiac test, that does not anywhere near conclusively tell you that wheat is okay for you to eat and that is not inflaming your body. If you want a proper test, you need to find somebody that will run the Cyrex, C-Y-R-E-X, array number 3 on you. I suggest if it comes back positive, you also do array number 4. They actually save your blood for about a month or more. It's actually more than a month. So if that comes back positive and you decide you'd like to get the other test done, you don't need to go in and get your blood drawn again. You just have to pay for the additional test and have the health practitioner contact the lab and say, please run this other array on the blood sample you're holding, array number 4. If you would like to see which of your systems, is it your neurological system, is it your arthritic system? There are a bunch of different systems in the body. If you'd like to see which of those is possibly the one that is being the most damaged by this autoimmune condition, because that's what this all is. This is all autoimmunity. Then that's array number 5, where they identify which of the different systems the autoimmunity is actually reacting on. So that might interest you. Depends on what you can afford and what it costs. So that's number one, is that the celiac test is extremely unable to catch most of the people that react to wheat. And whether you're negative on the celiac test or not, that's not a way to look. If you want to know if you react to wheat, forget about the celiac test. Forget about the fact that your doctor maybe already ran it on you and said that, no, you don't react. We don't know that. You would have to run Cyrex array number 3 to find that out. Number 2 is that if you do react on the Cyrex test or on a celiac test, either one, with the Cyrex being much more accurate, if you do react, that does not mean that you are reactive to all gluten any more than somebody reacting to beef means they shouldn't eat any animal protein. Beef is just one of the many forms of animal protein, and the test of Cyrex array number 3 or the celiac test is only testing certain parts of your reactivity to the protein in our traditional hybridized wheat. So you can still not be reactive to all the other different animal proteins if you react to beef, and you can still not be reactive to all the other different grain glutens even if you react to the one in wheat. So you might be fine with barley, you might be fine with rye, you might be fine with spelt or kamut or emmer. Those are all different grains, and you would want to make sure that you get organic heirloom quality. Organic just has to do with what they do or don't fertilize or spray it with. Heirloom quality means, or heirloom, either heirloom or heirloom quality, means it was a non-hybridized older variety, and it's the hybridization that often screws up the plant's proteins and makes us more likely to react to it. So that's number 2. If you want to find out whether or not you react to other things, you get some heirloom quality ones and you check that. Number 3 is that I really tell people they should eat less grains anyway, because grains turn rapidly into sugar in the body, and sugar and grains and starches, I call them sabotage foods, grains, sugars, and starches. And why? Because the starch, whether the starch is in your grain, whether the starch is in your potato, whether the starch is in your corn, well, the starch is in, let's see, what other things we have starch in? Pumpkins and winter squash. Starch is what the body rapidly turns into sugar. And sugar is an issue in the body. That's a totally separate thing. I think I have a recording on sugar. You can listen on YouTube to Dr. Ludwig's recording on sugar, which is excellent. He goes on for about an hour on sugar. But that's a separate issue. That's not a reactivity. That's simply that your body's sugar level goes up, and so it drops your immune system and makes you more likely to get cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. That's a totally separate issue. But remember, as I said earlier, barley
and we want heirloom quality barley. Barley is the slowest sugar converter of all the grains. So if you say, I want to have a grain, I consider grains a comfort food, and I'm not going to have them as often because of what you've said, but sometimes I want a portion of grain with my good quality meat and my good quality non-starchy vegetables, then barley would be a very good one to have. And for those people that happen to like having oatmeal as a hot meal on some mornings, if you instead cook up barley, yes, it'll take 20 minutes to cook. It's going to take longer to cook because it converts more slowly. If you cook up whole grain heirloom barley and throw in a handful of your favorite berry into that, or cut up an apple into that, or put a little bit of stevia or some yacon syrup or some other healthy sweetener, and that's all listed as sweeteners on in my MP3s, then you have a much, much, much healthier breakfast. As a matter of fact, you can make it healthier still if after it's been cooking for 10 minutes, because it takes about 20 minutes to cook, you crack a couple of eggs in, mix it back up again, and let it cook for the rest of the 10 minutes. It won't change the flavor very much, especially if you're going to add some cut-up apples to it afterwards. But it will greatly increase its fat content, which is good for you. It's healthy fat content. It's protein content, which is good for you. And it will slow down the conversion even further. And so when you finish that breakfast, you will be astonished, because as long as you don't ruin it by having some French fries with it, or by having a glass of orange juice or apple juice with it, or by having a piece of toast with it, those are all sabotage foods that will ruin this good, healthy breakfast. As long as you don't ruin it, you'll find that bowl of barley with a couple of eggs cracked into it, you'll finish that, and you won't be the least bit hungry for between 4.5 and 7 hours, much longer than you've ever gone between meals, because it's staying with you, because it's very, very healthy food. A couple of last things that I really need to go over that I didn't quite cover. Number one, I don't know why I always do numbers. I just gave numbers a minute ago. In any event, if a person goes into their doctor and the symptoms that they are technically it's called presenting with, that's just medical terminology, but the symptoms they're describing are not GI symptoms. They're neurological symptoms. Maybe they have MS. Maybe they have lupus. Maybe they've got a thyroid condition. Maybe they're going in to a psychiatrist because they have anxiety or depression disorder. The doctor will never think of wheat, because they were taught that if somebody has any reactivity to wheat at all, it would show up in a celiac test, which of course I've just explained to you is not true, and that it would be a GI set of symptoms only, which is also not true. So therefore, a lot of these people that would be able to get massive benefits by eliminating wheat from their diet religiously and making sure it's out never get to get these benefits, because the doctor doesn't understand that their condition might be caused by this. So let's give a couple of these examples. Earlier I said there were so many I wasn't going to bother. I changed my mind. So multiple sclerosis, lupus, various thyroid conditions, specifically autoimmune thyroid, for that matter, any kind of autoimmune condition, any kinds of arthritis, any kinds of neurological conditions that I'm not mentioning, please include them, anxiety disorders, depressive or depression disorders, you know, all of these different conditions and more might either be being caused by or being aggravated by the inflammatory effects or the reactivity effects of wheat. And yes, I do have people that have come to me with major anxiety disorders, and of course I have to explain to them, I am not a physician, I am not a psychiatrist, I don't want anybody ever to put me in a category that I'm not in. That's a violation of state regulations, and I don't violate state regulations, I comply with all of them. However, when the person says, no, I don't want to go to psychiatrists, I don't want drugs, I want to see if I can do this by changing my diet and taking supplements. Like, okay, as long as you understand that, you know, you've signed my forms that you understand I'm not a doctor. And in the vast majority of cases, their anxiety, their depression, they're gone within under 3 months with no drugs, just by going on the diet that I propose that's on my website, cutting out wheat religiously, taking out starches and sugars and alcohols because of their other different issues. And so there's a huge amount that people need to understand, you know. And to give you an example of a problem that is a GI problem,
just because although only 30% are now looking like their GI and the rest are anxiety and depression and other neurological conditions and brain conditions and autoimmune conditions like the ones I just mentioned and others, nonetheless, we do have a growing number of people, as more and more people are exposed to our getting worse and worse wheat, that end up with the GI problems. And they still very possibly won't test positive in a celiac test. So I'm going to give you one example. I'm sure my best friend would not be upset with me for doing this because he loves me to teach people about things. But my best friend in the whole world, who I've known since we were in junior high school, he was having all sorts of problems years ago, which he did not tell me about. And they were getting worse and worse and worse. It was getting to the point that he's an engineer, that on his way to work, he would be afraid that he would soil his pants in the car and have to come back and change into new clothing because he couldn't hold it. And the way he put it was, he said, I knew every single bathroom between my house and my office. And he went to specialists, he went to GI specialists, he had colonoscopies, sigmoidoscopies, all these various different things. They ran a celiac panel, which came back negative. And so everything they did showed negative. And so, of course, they referred him to a psychiatrist, and they said, well, it must be some kind of anxiety disorder about you're anxious about going to work. And so that gets you nervous, and that's what happens. And he finally called me up, and he still to this day, years later, says, I don't know why I didn't call you first. Called me up and told me what was happening. And I said, sounds to me like wheat. And he said, no, they ran the tests, and I went to a GI doc, and then I went to another GI doc. I said, their tests are inaccurate. I said, disregard that. I would bet you anything that if you religiously cut out wheat from your diet, and I will explain all the places it can be hiding to you, and this is the stuff that's in the PDF that you can click on right next to this recording and download that PDF. If you pull all these things out within under 2 months, and possibly way under 2 months, depends on your body, the problems will vanish. And, you know, he found it a little bit hard to believe after going to all these different specialists and them saying that there's nothing wrong, all the tests are normal, we're going to send you to a psychiatrist, that I could just immediately say it's wheat. But, you know, although there are lots of other reactivities, this one is almost always wheat. And so he cut out the wheat religiously, and the problem vanished within a few weeks. And what he told me is it took months before his brain was certain enough that it really was gone. Because that's a scary thing when you're leaving the house in the morning and you're worried that you're going to have a problem in the car and have to find an immediate bathroom. He said, so it went away within a few weeks, but it was a few months before, as he was putting his hand on the doorknob to leave, that he was no longer worried about what might happen. So lots and lots of people out there he has spoken to that are friends of his or associates of his or people that he worked with that have the same issues that he had that he doesn't have anymore. And he says, let me explain to you why that might be wheat. And it would only take you 6 lousy little weeks of religiously, I hate using that word, but religiously avoiding wheat in anything to find out whether or not it is. Because if it is, the problem will be gone. And he said, it's amazing how these people seem to be either so believing in their doctors that that's not it because the celiac test came back negative. And I'm telling you, those are inaccurate 70% or more of the time. Or I couldn't not eat bread. Or I couldn't not eat pasta. Or I couldn't not eat toast. And yet they're having these massive, horrible problems. He said, people are just so stupid that they won't try something for 6 weeks. And I just sort of laugh and say, welcome to my world, because obviously the patients that come to see me are the ones that are willing. But I hear people all the time complaining about other people they know that have problems that I have helped my patient to get rid of, and that when they tell these people what they might try to see if it gets rid of them and them also, they go, oh no, I couldn't stop eating those foods. So it really is amazing how many people, we're talking about adults here. We're not talking about a child who's 7 or 8 years old or 10 years old and where 6 weeks seems like a lifetime. We're talking about adults where doing something different for 6 weeks should be no big deal if it might possibly make a huge difference in the way you feel in your health. But people are really weird. And so I give you the information and you can do with it as you wish. But if you follow it, it may change your life. Another example I could give, and I've seen this a number of times, but I'll just pick somebody. Obviously, I won't give you any names. Is a woman who was brought to me slash came to me. I mean, she came to me, but her mom was the one that called, and she said that my daughter is in college, and she is suffering severe depression, anxiety, possible suicidal tendencies, and we'd like to make an appointment. And as I always do, I said, wait a minute now. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't want anybody to think that I ever put myself out to be a physician, which I'm not. I would not normally have somebody coming to me with these problems. And she said, well, my daughter watched her three friends in college, her three closest friends, each start to get various different psychiatric disorders. Each one eventually went to three different psychiatrists, were each put on three different psychiatric meds, and she said, these three women are no longer my friends, because what the psychiatric meds did to their personalities changed them into people, she said, that I didn't like anymore. And so I'm not going to go that route. I want to go some other route. And she said, I don't want drugs. I will try anything else. And I said, okay, as long as you understand that, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychiatrist, I am more than happy to work with you to make the diet changes, bring in the supplements, the nutrients, etc., and see whether or not she will respond in the way most of the people I treat do. And again, within 4 months, all of her anxiety and depression was gone. She felt fabulous. She went back for the next semester, and she actually contacted me and said, do you know that girls of my age in school are pretty stupid? And I said, I'm not sure what you mean. I mean, what are you saying? And she said, well, I went to the three people that used to be my friends, and I explained to them they don't need to be on those different psychiatric medications they're on. Most likely it's being caused by deficiencies and problems and reactivities, and if they would try you know, the diet and the supplements that you have me on, or maybe slightly different ones because their bodies are different, they could probably get off the drugs. And all three of them, as I spoke to each one separately, said, no, it's okay. It's all right. The drug has helped. I'm on the drug. And she said, so I consider that to be stupid. And I went, well, but you've got to remember, that's our society. Our society says you have a problem that's related to health, you go to the doctor. The doctor, of course, doesn't know how to cure problems. He only knows how to suppress symptoms. And so the doctor does his or her job, and they think everything has been handled the way it's supposed to. She said, but can't they tell that they don't feel the way they used to feel? I said, I'm not sure. I'm not inside their body. I'm not inside their brain. You know, because you're an outsider. You saw them turn into a different person because they're now drugged. And you knew you didn't want that to happen to you. She said, I sure as hell didn't. I said, okay, so you got to see that. They, on the other hand, have turned into this different person, and they may or may not be able to really understand or recognize anything other than they feel better. And although they would feel much better if they were the way you are now, where they're not dumbed down, and they don't have those feelings because they're healthy, not because they're being suppressed, they don't know that. So I just told her, don't call them stupid. Because they think they're fine. And she said, well, I think it's stupid. So again, there are lots of examples of this. And the most important thing is, anytime you have a condition that could be caused by nutritional deficiencies, by eating a food your body is reacting to, by being exposed to chemicals that your body's reacting to, fluoride in your drinking water, chlorine, new furniture in your house in which it's outgassing the toxic chemicals coming from the fire retardants, and all of a sudden people start having problems, people need to try to figure out which professional in their area might be able to help them to identify the true causes, so that the causes can be addressed rather than the symptoms being suppressed with drugs. And I hope this has been of help. I understand you'll probably all have to listen to it a couple of times, because I get a little bit, I go off on a couple tangents here and there, and I like to make sure I cover everything that I want to cover, but that makes my recordings a little bit longer than they might be if I was trying to be concise. I don't try to be concise. I simply try to be easy to understand. Thank you for caring about your health. One last quick thing I just thought of. Actually, two last quick things. Number one, for those people who
would like to still be able to make some form of bread that, although of course it will taste different, is a bread, and that you might quickly get used to it and like it, or a couple of other dishes for things which you would otherwise have to use wheat and you can't. The best cookbook I've ever found is written by Ilana Amsterdam. Her website is ilanaspantry.com or .net. Her book is called The Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook. And be certain that if you get that and make some of her recipes, I've made quite a number of them, that you do two things. Number one, make sure you look at the brand names of almond flour that she says work properly in her recipes. Because if you just grab a brand in the health food store and the recipe doesn't work, it was your fault. You didn't look to see that some recipes, some almond flours are not ground finely enough and don't work. I use Honeyville grains. And number two, that you want to make a substitution in all of her recipes. She uses a very toxic, that's my word, obviously. Somebody else would say that's the wrong word, but I'm going to call it toxic sweetener. It's even worse for you than high fructose corn syrup. It's the highest fructose sweetener that is currently available in the United States, and therefore, since concentrated fructose is a major issue causing non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and type 2 diabetes, all the reasons that high fructose corn syrup is so bad for you, this particular sweetener has even more fructose in it than high fructose corn syrup, and it's called agave nectar. So you don't want to use agave nectar. You should strike it out of your diet. But you can replace that with Yacon, Y-A-C-O-N, Yacon syrup, which is available in some health food stores, not too many because it's expensive, but then again, you shouldn't be making desserts that often. My favorite supplier for Yacon syrup or suppliers are herbdealer.com. You can find it hidden on their website somewhere, and Sunfood, S-U-N-food.com. Both of them have good quality Yacon syrups, and that's a one-to-one substitution for the agave nectar in any of her recipes. And the last thing, just in my examples, was that one of the conferences, or actually two of the conferences I was at, gave a fascinating example of a woman who had multiple sclerosis, was in a wheelchair, and somehow or other became part of one of the wheat-free, gluten-free, gliadin-free studies that was being done. And after a number of months on the completely gluten-free diet, her MS symptoms went away, and she was able for the first time in years to stand up and get out of her wheelchair. And it was so hard for everybody to believe that they did brain scans and found that her MS lesions were gone, and she would no longer be able to be diagnosable as having multiple sclerosis. Well, because this amazed everybody so much, they asked her, would she be willing to do the challenge of going back on wheat to see whether it would come back? And she said, yeah, I miss my bread and my pasta. Sure, we'll do that. And so she went back on the wheat. When not too many weeks her symptoms came back, she was back in the wheelchair. They did another brain scan. The lesions were back, and she was now diagnosed as MS. A second time, they went off wheat. And a second time, the symptoms went away. The lesions cleared. She lost her MS diagnosis. I'm sure she was very happy to lose that. Most things we don't like to lose, that would be very good to lose. And, of course, she would never go on wheat ever again after that. My question is, with MS, with ALS, with dementia, with all sorts of different things that we know, some portion of the people who have it, the cause is wheat. Other people, the cause is not, and yet other people, probably the largest percentage, it is one of the causes. How many of those people would feel so much better if they eliminated wheat for a couple months as a trial after first learning where it's hiding, because otherwise you can't do it correctly. And again, I've got a PDF there you can click on to give you all that information. How many of them would go, oh my God, if my doctor would have told me this years and years ago, I would have had so many years of less suffering. But the doctor doesn't know, and so they can't tell you. So you need to educate the doctor. Hell, send them to my website. You know, there's a lot of stuff on davidgetoff.com is the easiest way. It'll redirect you to my website. There's lots of information. I'm always putting on more information. There's nothing for sale. And thank you for listening.